Fans, I've been talking to my friends at River Islands, and they tell me that a lot of the neighbors are now working from home. Imagine starting out your day with a bike ride or a run along the San Joaquin River Trail, then back home to a home large enough for a real office or two, and even a separate classroom space for the kids. After a day of online meetings and seriously focused work, it's out to the park or onto your neighborhood lake to kayak or paddleboard. You can call ahead. Absolutely. This is something I've talked about on the show. I'm so glad that we're talking about it. You can call ahead to the Boathouse Restaurant to pick up some dinner and visit with neighbors outside on the deck. When you live in a master planned community that's almost 5,000 acres in size, it's easy to spend time together, even if you are 6 feet apart. The Welcome Center is online at riverislands.com. So check it out to see more than 40 floor plans priced from the mid-$400,000s. Then make an appointment for a virtual or personal visit. A lot of people are doing that at riverislands.com, where the good life is yours every day. That's riverislands.com. And I'm so glad we talked about this on the show last week. Ron Wotus and I talked about it, and tonight we talked about it as well. And with so many people working from home, River Islands is certainly a very, very interesting alternative for many people in the Bay Area. All right, joining us now is our good friend, Barry Bloom. He works now with Sportico. He's going to explain what that is. And, of course, he's a senior baseball writer and someone we've learned so much baseball from. Barry, how are you?
Hey, Marty. How's everything going?
Very good, and glad to have you with us. Tell us about Sportico and this new change for you.
Well, it's a new sports business platform that's being developed under the umbrella of the Penske Media Corporation, which has a lot of titles, including Variety and The Village Voice and Rolling Stone, and it's a major endeavor that I'm really very happy to be a part of, because one of my better friends in the business, Scott Sashnick, is the executive editor, and he invited me to join him and help build the site. And I'm going to just try and add my expertise in sports business writing to build this into a top-flight site.
Well, terrific. Barry Bloom with us of Sportico, S-P-O-R-T-I-C-O, Sportico. I guess it's sportico.com. And you can check it out and check out Barry's writings there. Well, if you want to write about the business of baseball, you got a job at the right time, I'll tell you that. With all that's going on, and I value your expertise in this thing, and I know the fans are going to be very interested to get your take on where we are. Will we have baseball? Will they get over the hurdle of banging their heads against the wall like two longhorn sheep do, and get us back to baseball?
Well, I think we'll know by the end of the week. I really do. We're at the point here where all the payouts in baseball expire by June 1st. As many labor negotiations do, they come down to the deadline. And I think, this week we're going to see a lot of negotiations. I'm told on Tuesday that the owners are going to submit their economic plan to the players for an 82-game season. There's been a lot of talk about the 50-50 split of revenue on both sides, but the owners have yet to really make a formal presentation on it. There's been just a lot of talk and a lot of PR about it, and we'll see where we are. I mean, right now where we stand is, the owners are basically saying that if they play an 82-game season and most of it's with no fans, the only revenue they're going to have coming in is about $1.5 billion in local and television money, and they're willing to split that evenly with the players to pay their salaries and use the rest of it in operational costs, but that's it. And the players are in a situation where they believe they've already negotiated a deal with the owners where they would be paid a prorated portion of their salary for every game played this season. So the question will be, once they get the proposal for Major League Baseball, will the union counteroffer with something different, or will they just stand their ground on what they've already negotiated?
What do you think will happen?
Pretty soon.
What do you think will happen?
I think that there's a lot of players who really do want to play, and I think you're going to have some who are not going to play. But I think what's going to happen is, you know, they're going to nail down a deal, which they should, and a plan to start playing. And I still believe, and what I've written even back in my last iteration at Forbes, I do believe that events are going to overtake this and they will never play the season.
Really? Wow, interesting. Okay. All right.
You basically are at 100,000 deaths right now, and by July 1st, you might be at 200,000. I mean, this thing is continuing to blow up around the country, and you can't have the optics of professional sports playing in the background of so many people who are still getting sick, and you can't put these players at risk. The one issue I will say is that, you know, for the owners, this is a money-only situation. They're trying to recoup some of their losses by playing the season and getting to the postseason, where they would make back the money. But not one owner is putting himself at physical risk for this. Every player, despite the 67-page safety and health proposal that the owners made, is at risk of getting sick. And if somebody dies, God forbid, I mean, it's just an awful situation.
Boy, interesting. All right, very good. Look, we love having your take, and you've been part of the show for so many years, and always your take is always well thought out. So, all right, we'll see. All right, that's an interesting take. The proposals will be made, the agreement will be made, but we won't get to the games in July. All right, that's Barry Bloom of Sportico, Sportico.com. You wrote a couple of things this week, or in the process at least, of writing about the Hall of Fame and the impact, just as any small business or anything. Let's face it, the Hall of Fame lives for the summer and for everyone going up there for the induction, Derek Jeter and all that. They must be getting just hurt big time.
Well, yeah, that piece is about to come out on Monday or Tuesday, but I did the reporting on it and I finished the piece. And, you know, basically, Cooperstown and the entire area is a ghost town right now. And, you know, they stand to lose millions of dollars in economic impact for the fact that the halls closed, the museums closed, the opera season has been canceled this summer. The dream parks where they play youth baseball are down. The breweries are basically closed. All the sports memorabilia stores are out. Restaurants are serving takeout only. And it's not going to get any better this summer there. It's not like with Major League Baseball you might have a season. There is no season in Cooperstown this year, and they've never had a year like this, and they're just trying to hold on. The mayor of the town told me that they've already lost $500,000 in taxable revenue that they've had to take out of the next budget, which is a fiscal budget that begins in June, and that they stand to lose a lot more money because there's just no people there.
Well, all right. Well, the Forbes, it was Jane Forbes Clark, that family owns so much up there. And I know it's a well-heeled family, but it's at some point, like anything else, it does depend on tourists. So let's see what happens. But so that comes out Monday or Tuesday. That'll be interesting to read.
I must say that, you know, that the Hall and the Clark family are not in any real danger. I mean, that's a nonprofit. They run a few of the museums in town. They own a conservancy around the lake. I mean, as you say, they own a lot of the town. And the Hall of Fame is in pretty good shape with a lot of past revenue and assets. So, you know, the hall itself is going to be fine. It's just all the ancillary businesses around it that really exist off the hall.
Yeah, like everything else. Boy, good point. That's a good point. Always Barry Bloom with us. All right, now, quietly, the Giants broke ground on their new real estate project, and you had that story as well.
Yeah, that was something that I've been monitoring for the last 6, 7, 8 months. I've written extensively about the Mission Rock project and the new Warrior Arena and everything that's going on in the Mission Bay area just south of the stadium. And, you know, they've been preparing this, and they've been getting ready for phase one for quite some time. It was just a matter of once the prep work was done, when were they actually going to break ground to get it started? Because it's going to take 7, 8 years for the whole project to build out, and then it's going to take a couple of years for the first phase. So they were planning on phase one being broken ground in January. That didn't happen because they were still stuck in the city and the port permitting process. They delayed it till March. Then it was delayed again till May. And so now they finally just went ahead with it without the ceremony to just get started and get in the ground and get it done. I mean, I don't think people realize what's going to happen in that area, that, you know, essentially you're going to have a whole city there across McCovey Cove, you know, replete with 9 or 10 buildings for housing and workplaces, and there's going to be a lot of retail. There's park spaces. Between Lot A, which was 2,000 parking spaces, between there and the next set of buildings down south, that's all going to be filled in. So, I mean, essentially, from the corner of 3rd and King, where the ballpark entrance is, you go all the way down past the Chase Center, and everything in that area is going to be completely built up. And most of it is built up already by the University of San Francisco Medical Center project there and the housing that's been built in. You know, it's an area of the city that, you know, I don't know if you did it, but I remember when I covered 49er games, you know, I'd get off and take 3rd Street down to the ballpark to Candlestick Park to basically avoid the traffic. And the whole area was moribund. In 1989, when the earthquake hit and we were stuck in Candlestick, I took a bunch of riders in a rental car that I had. We took 3rd Street back into a completely darkened city. So, you know, you have a whole area of the city there that wasn't there 5 years ago, 6 years ago, and is going to continue to grow. And, you know, the Giants are just doing a tremendous job with this.
Well, we'll see how it turns out with all that's going on in the world. It's part of the sports business and the business of cities and medical and everything else. Boy, what a crazy, crazy, crazy time. Barry, great to have you on. Congratulations on Sportico.com, and you're part of it. And a good baseball business, sports business, and you really write it well, and you always have good opinions. So I appreciate you being on, and stay safe.
Yeah, thanks. Let me just point out that in the interim, before the actual Sportico website comes up, our articles and, you know, my articles this week and for the immediate future until maybe the end of June are going to appear on Variety, which is an interesting little twist, too. So it's on their site right now.
Okay. All right. We'll check it out. But we could always Google Barry Bloom as well. All right. Take care of yourself, and I appreciate you being on.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on, as always, Marty.
Okay. All right. More coming up. KMBR 680-1045. The sports leader.